Hello and welcome back to Hit the Target, powered by Hollywood Bets. As we round up the Premier League action for August 2025, the spotlight falls on a massive clash on Merseyside this weekend. That's right, it's the defending champions Liverpool taking on a title-chasing Arsenal. This highly anticipated match brings together two teams looking to make a huge statement early on in their bid for silverware. With me, as always, to discuss this one and more, our resident Premier League analysts, Mark Stradom and Nigel Nika. Gents, welcome.
Good morning, guys.
Great to be here, Desh.
All right, let's kick things off with a home side this weekend, Liverpool. Looking at their most recent performance, I want to say the Reds did really well to go to St. James's Park and claim maximum points against a tough Newcastle side.
Yeah, Desh, one of the most difficult places to go to in Premier League. The crowd gets on the back, Newcastle bully you, and to come away with 3 points, I think Slot will just be happy, get that in the bag and move on.
Yeah, Mark, would you say that was a fixture? I don't think they entirely deserved to win. Of course, it was a dramatic 3-2 victory, so the scoreline says it all.
Yeah, it was a real smash and grab from Slot and the boys. Newcastle made it very difficult for Liverpool. I think, like Nigel said, St. James Park is a difficult place to visit. And Newcastle are not a bad team as well. So with the crowd behind them, it just makes it that much more difficult. And to get a winner in the 99th minute, it is heartbreaking. But maximum points at the end of the day.
Yeah. You wonder if the outcome would have been a bit different had they played with 11 men for both halves.
Oh, for sure. Anthony Gordon was a threat playing in the striker's position. I don't know what was going through his mind when he hit Van Dijk with that tackle. But if he was on the field, I'm sure it would have been a lot different, because they did manage to get two goals with 10 men.
Yeah,
and impressive. Could have come away with a point. So if he was there, it could have been a lot different, I think.
Yeah, and you look at that first half, especially when he got the drop on Konate. He was getting in behind many times. I think Konate actually was booked for a foul on Gordon. And then you look at his header. I think he jumped higher than Kirkes, the new Liverpool recruit, and almost opened a scoring.
Yeah, Gordon is a top player and playing in an unfamiliar role as well. He really looked good in the opening minutes against Liverpool. Gave Konate problems, like you just said. Is he the answer now? He'll be missing for the next three games, so maybe Osula gets a chance now.
Yeah, but if you're honest, Slot, I would say that Newcastle really exposed your team, I think, several times in the first half alone.
Yeah, I mean, the way Liverpool play, it's almost invited, where they make the games chaotic in a sense. Mm-hmm. They know that they can outscore you, so they do allow it to get chaotic. And Newcastle have players who can hurt them with the pace. So definitely, it was a difficult place for Slot to go and win, but they did it.
Yeah. One of those players who got on the score sheet on the night was Liverpool recruit Hugo Ekitike. Of course, it's two games in two for him, but he's been overlooked for the latest France squad for their upcoming World Cup qualifiers. Mark, what can you see him doing in the coming weeks?
He looks a real deal for me. He looks comfortable on the ball. He looks like he's already well settled in. Him and Gakpo look like they forming a connection on that side. He's clean inside the box. He makes good runs. His finishing is proper. So I think they hit well with Ekitike, and I'm sure there's a lot more goals to come during the season.
Yeah, well, it might be a battle of strikers this weekend, because, you know, Arsenal hitman Victor Gyokeres is up and running. A five-star performance against Leeds at the Emirates, a dominant 5-0 win. I want to say that anything other than a maximum points would have come as a surprise.
Yeah, you're right with that one, Desh. Especially at the Emirates, not many teams go there and come away with the results. And with all the work that Arsenal has done in the transfer window, it was nice to see that Victor got off the mark with two goals. It was like a weight lifted off his shoulders. You could see how the players celebrated, especially him as well. You could see the passion and how happy he was. So with all that off his shoulders now, I think he goes into this game more comfortable, with more confidence. And like you said, it's going to be a battle of the strikers, and it's going to be a good watch.
Yeah. 100% agree with you there. It does look like he has the backing of his teammates. And, you know, sometimes when a new player comes in, a massive deal, he might still need to convince his teammates, even though he might have convinced the club's hierarchy. What did you make about his penalty on the night, Nige?
It was pretty ruthless the way he struck it. I think he also wanted it the moment they won the penalty. Shows that he's a proper goal scorer, loves to hit the back of the net, and also has high standards as a striker. So I think that's what we've been missing for a while now. And the players will be really stoked that they have a nine to hit now.
Yeah. You know, he's going to have his work cut out for him this weekend. Of course, in that fixture, Bukayo Saka experienced an injury and was stretched off. I believe he's been ruled out for up to 4 weeks. Similarly, Martin Odegaard nursing an injury. We are yet to see if he's going to pass a late fitness test to undergo this fixture. But let's just say he has to do it without them. What can we expect from Gyökeres against his Liverpool backline?
Look, he's a bully. I've seen it last season against Arsenal in the Champions League, where he bullied Saliba and Gabriel. I'm sure he can do the same to Van Dijk and Konate. He runs the channels really well. And considering Gordon gave them a hard time last week, I think Gyökeres will be licking his lips.
All right. I think it's that time where we address the elephant in the room. Arsenal have a new number 10. Eberechi Eze, heavily favourited to go straight into the starting lineup this weekend against Liverpool.
What an exciting footballer. I think he's the making of a modern footballer now. His game style fits perfect for Arsenal. Arsenal are still doing good work during the transfer window, and it shows the intent that they're going in with through the season. And he doesn't need any work. He doesn't need time to get fit or anything, so he's gonna fit straight in, and I'm sure Arsenal will want the most out of him at Anfield.
Yeah, I think all eyes are gonna be on those flanks, because you look at the likes of Martinelli and Noni Madueke, they'll be gunning forward and licking their lips at the prospect of Frimpong and Kerkez, who are looking a bit wobbly at the start of the season.
Definitely, Kerkez showed he's not up to speed yet, so I think with Noddy's speed and his trickery, he could get some success down the right flank. And down the left, Martinelli, with his speed, I'm sure, with Frimpong injured now, if they could have Szoboszlai play the right back position again, or Connor Bradley coming in. But either one of them, I'm sure Martinelli will have more speed over them. And with his trickery as well, he's technically good as well, so we could have some fun to the wings.
Yeah, of course, the Liverpool strength has been their midfield era for the last couple of seasons, but I want to say that Newcastle bullied them last week. Florian Wirtz has looked the part. I think he had a chance in the first half, but outside of that, Szoboszlai wasn't really on his game. Gravenberg, he did come up clutch with a massive goal.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think they're a bit lightweight in the midfield. But then again, you consider Newcastle's, I think they bully most midfields in the league. That trio of Joe Linton, Tonali and Gomez, it's really frightening. I think they kick you. They're so physical. And yeah, to make your point, they do look a bit lightweight in midfield for Liverpool, definitely.
All right. Well, looking ahead to this weekend's clash, Liverpool are winless in 6 Premier League matches against Arsenal. It's their longest winless run against the Gunners since going 8 without a win between October 07 and April 2011. History favouring the Gunners?
Yeah, I think since Arteta has taken over, he's done an excellent job. We used to get wiped. They used to wipe the floor with us pre-Arteta. I think 4-0, 5-0. Mm. Firmino scoring hat-tricks. Yeah. Jota coming in. So I think he's changed our life in that aspect. Unbeaten in the last 3 visits to Anfield as well. So look, positives to take. And I think they will be confident ahead of the game going to Anfield, definitely.
Yeah. All right, before I ask for your conclusions, your final thoughts between Arteta and Klopp, which one has a bigger project at this current moment, and what is the significance going into this clash in Merseyside?
I think the pressure's on both managers. I think for Slot to maintain his position on the top and go for the Premier League again, and obviously for Arteta with the backing of the hierarchy and the money he's spent, yeah. I think trophies is a major thing to come with now, because they've backed him. He's got his players. I think the side is his now. He's got the players he wanted. The players he wanted out are gone. So it's about time he brings some silverware to the club, especially with the money he spent. So I think the pressure's on both. Slot also has been heavily backed as well. He's brought in new players, quality players too. So I think it's going to be exciting. It won't be one-way favoured for Liverpool, I don't think so, because City will come in the race as well. Tottenham has been extremely good. It's going to be exciting season. It's nice that it's open now for more teams. So it's going to be a lot more competitive. But I think the pressure's on for both managers now.
Yeah. Are there going to be goals, Anderson? Are you looking at a even Steven fixture?
Oh, definitely goals. If I had to say even Steven, it's probably going to go 2-2 if I see it.
All right. Nigel, you agree with that scoreline 2-2? I mean, surely there needs to be a title contender, and I think this fixture might just reveal one.
Yeah, no doubt. I think as early as the third game, you're getting two top teams clashing, and I think neither will want to lose it so early. We've seen draws in the past, and I'm going both teams to score in a draw here. Yeah.
All right. Looks like both analysts reading from the same hymn sheet over here in studio. All right, Sunday's action actually concludes with a fixture at Villa Park. It's Aston Villa hosting Crystal Palace. I want to say both outfits having a bit of a slow start to the season.
Yeah, Villa more so. I think losing to Brentford last week would have been disappointing, especially by drawing the first game. Forest have been good. Chris Wood looks like he's off to his goal scoring best already.
It's just Crystal Palace there, Nigel.
Sorry, Palace, my bad. I mean, we know what you can get with Palace. They've recently won the FA Cup coming into it. It's going to be a really exciting game.
All right.
Yeah, I agree. It's been a slow start, but both teams are capable of putting in high performances. We know what Emre can do with his team. He's tactically very good. He has an exciting team as well, but they just haven't clicked into gear so far. But Palace, we know. We've seen it. Community Shield, FA Cup. But losing Eze, they showed in the previous game, they can continue without him, with Sarr stepping up. But let's wait and see how far they can go. Can they bring players in to replace?
Yeah.
We're not sure.
Yeah, I think at Villa Park, Unai Emery will be under pressure to start their season. Currently, they find themselves in 17th place, so perhaps a bit of pressure on him at this early part of the season?
Definitely pressure on him, especially with the type of manager he is. I think the expectations are so high from him. So with the slow start, all the eyes will be on him. The pressure will be on him. So maximum points will be priority from him.
All right, a win here for Aston Villa?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think they'll be targeting their first win of the season. So Villa to win at home.
Yeah, I'm going with Villa to win as well.
All right, the other fixtures on Sunday sees Nottingham Forest up against West Ham United and Brighton up against Man City. Now, of course, City with a 2-0 defeat last time out to Tottenham. Not the way you want to start your season.
Yeah, especially considering the first game where they looked really good and then to get brought down to earth by Frank Spurs. Not the greatest, but look, Spurs are looking good. Let's see if City can turn it around this week now.
All right. Mark, surely he would have led the right act to his citizen outfit, because you know the likes of Cherky has come in, Reinders has come in, and you know he has to deliver results on the pitch.
Definitely, I'm sure he would have been giving it to them black and blue. But as you know, Pep is a perfectionist. He will definitely get it right. And I don't want to say he needs time because of the type of coach he is, but the players will need time. They're coming from different leagues. They need to be integrated into the system well. They need to know what Pep wants from them, because he knows exactly where the players need to be and how they need to play for the system to work. So, okay, he needs a little bit of time, but we expect the players to hit the ground running when you play for Pep. But I'm sure it's a slight setback, and they'll get back on their feet soon.
Yeah, well, they're up against a Brighton outfit that started off their campaign with a draw against Fulham before going down 2-0 to Everton last time out. I want to say, though, Brighton looked the better team on the day.
Yeah, I think unlucky to lose. I think they need to turn it around as well. Draw first game and then lose second game. So Hützeliger has got his back against the wall. They need to get some maximum points now.
All right. Well, outside of this fixture against Man City, they've got Bournemouth and Tottenham on the horizon. So do you think it's a case of we'll make it up, or does the season start this weekend?
It's got to start before it's too late, because the Premier League can run away from you. But facing City is a different animal, especially with them coming off a defeat. So I'm sure Pep will want to recover immediately.
All right. All the systems go at Man City this weekend then?
Yeah, I got to give it to Man City with this one.
Yeah, I agree. Normal service resumes. I think they get back to winning ways.
All right. The final fixture of Sundays sees Nottingham Forest hosting troubled West Ham United. Nige, are West Ham's woes going to continue this weekend?
Looks very likely. I think Forest, to go there to the Forest ground is really difficult, especially with Wood in such good form and West Ham crumbling. So I think it's alarm bell sounding for Potter already.
Yeah, I think they're actually at the very bottom of the league in plumb 20th place. Mark, West Ham has started absolutely miserably, but we haven't seen this. It's not the first time that this has happened. We've seen in the past with David Moyes. He was also hovering in that relegation zone. But you look at their performance last weekend. I think Jared Bowen was involved with a spat to the crowd. You know, he's going and having a rift with the West Ham fans. Not what you want to see from your club captain.
Yeah, you can see it's very dark times at West Ham at the moment. Just unfortunate, because they are a very good team. They do have some quality players in their ranks there. But to be fair to Potter, I think he needs to be backed as well. I think he's the only club that hasn't brought in new players so far this season. So with losing Kudus, money is not the issue. Paqueta is still there. Bowen is still there. They do have some players to work out something, and I think he needs to be backed. But that's not taking away the poor performances that they've been showing. So
yeah,
something needs to change.
If they lose again this weekend, he'll be under immense pressure, and almost with the international window on the horizon, he might be the first one to be sacked.
Possibly. That is quite possible, because it's not looking good at all. Even with the way they've been losing, they're not showing any fight. There's separation between the team, which is not good. So something really needs to happen before Potter loses his place.
Yeah, well, I hate to play devil's advocate or be the bearer of bad news, but their trip to Nottingham Forest, who are currently unbeaten all season, of course, it's just been a win and a draw, but the performances from, as Nige mentioned, Chris Wood and company, it looks like a daunting place to go right now.
Definitely, I agree with both of you. Forest are playing very good football. Them two also have very good players as well, and a good coach, despite all the noise with him and the owner and the comments they've been making. The football speaks for itself, and especially having home ground advantage, I think it's going to be a tough matchup for West Ham.
Yeah. Are the floodgates going to open this weekend?
Yeah, you worry for them. they conceded 5 last week, and with the firepower Forest have...
Ico Jesus as well, the incoming signing from Botafogo.
Yeah, look, they really look frightening. They've also signed Hutchinson and McAtee last week. So there's a lot of depth in that side as well. So, scary for West Ham, honestly.
Let me just make it easier for you. Then 3 points going the way of Forest.
Yeah, I think Forest and over possibly 2.5 in the game.
Yeah, I agree with both of you. I'm giving it to Forest.
All right. Let's look at Saturday's fixtures, though. We have a midday kickoff that sees Chelsea hosting Fulham. Now, of course, the Blues showing signs of life in their 5-1 thrashing of West Ham last weekend, and they'll be looking to build on that momentum in this London derby.
Yeah, Maresca picked up a huge win last week. He want to keep it going. Chelsea are a star-studded team. I mean, the 11 is really good. Might suffer with some depth, but the first 11 is like proper Premier League stars, and you wouldn't expect anything else than for them to go and win against Fulham.
Yeah, of course, João Pedro shining in that fixture. Mark, I know you have been singing his praises off the mic, but you've been impressed with what you've seen so far?
Definitely, and I think it's what's expected from Chelsea, especially with the money they splash on players. I think, like Nigel said, they are Premier League quality players. If you mentioned João Pedro, I think he's exceptional. I think he was just underlooked because he was playing for Brighton. I don't want to say because it's a small team, but a so-called smaller team, as you say. So João Pedro's quality, they have Pedro Neto on the wing, Cole Palmer to come back, Enzo Fernandez, Caicedo, the list goes on and on. So,
are they title contenders for the Premier League?
I wouldn't say title contenders right now, because they are shaky in the back line. Will it improve during the season? We have to wait and see. But going forward, they are scary. They have a lot of quality. The new boy, Estevao, looks like a good signing as well. He's already got an assist against West Ham. So going forward, they are scary. But going in the defensive line, that's where it counts most in the Premier League.
Yeah, but I think they'll have enough firepower in the tank to get over this Fulham outfit.
I think so. Fulham showed a lot of fight against United, especially coming away with a point. Smith Rowe came on, I think it was maybe his first or second touch of the ball, and he scored. Iwobi is a good player. Marco Silva is a top coach as well himself. He also gets the best out of his players. He plays a good brand of football. He doesn't sit back. He also plays on attack regardless of the opponent, which is nice to see. Squad depth will be a problem for him, especially going against a strong Chelsea team. But I don't think he will sit back and play and soak up pressure. He will attack them and try and go for the points. But I think Chelsea at home will have enough to get maximum points.
Yeah, I agree, Mark. I think they just edge it. Like you mentioned, Fulham are a top outfit, and they will make it very difficult for Chelsea at the bridge. Maybe both teams to score, but Chelsea just edging it.
I love to see it. Both analysts, again, agreeing in studio here. Next up, we've got Wolverhampton Wanderers hosting Everton. Now, Wolves not having the best start to life in their 2025-26 campaign. Back-to-back league losses. Are the alarm bells ringing?
Yeah, I think a bit early to say. They finished the season really well under Vitor Pereira, and then they lost their star man in Cunha. So can they bounce back? I know their striker, Strand Larsen, is being linked away as well. So can they get their house in order and get some points on the board? No better time than the present and this weekend.
Yeah, and it's a home game. I want to say against a winnable Everton outfit. I mean, of course, they got the job done last weekend against Brighton, but they weren't exactly convincing. They haven't been convincing this season. And if you're Vitor Pereira, surely you are eyeing this as a must-win fixture.
Yeah, it has to be. It has to be. I think just losing your key player, I think it has affected the team and the balance of the team. And also, I'm sure it has hit the confidence as well. And with another player being linked out of the camp, it's going to cause a lot of more issues. But he's got to find a way. They do have quality players there. They desperately need the points. But for Everton, I think it's exciting times. Maybe we shouldn't blow the horn so early, but with Ndoye and Grealish linking up previously, it looks like an exciting pair to watch, because they operating on both flanks. We know what Grealish can do. Ndoye looks like a real quality player.
What an attacking duo.
And Barry showed signs last week. Maybe he just needs some time to get up to speed, but we know David Moyes is a solid coach, and I think they can get some results.
Yeah, well, maybe they just look to string back-to-back victories together here this weekend. Which way can you see this one going?
I think this is a evenly matched for both teams. But looking at, if I have to go on performances, I'm going to give it to Everton.
Yeah, I think good shout. But I think with Wolves winless, I think maybe they try and get over the line here, especially at home. Maybe they'd be targeting 3 points. I'm going Wolves win.
All right. Next up, we've got Tottenham Hotspur hosting Bournemouth. Now, we know the Lily Whites have a chance to extend their perfect start to the season with a home tie against a beatable Bournemouth outfit.
Yeah, I think Thomas Frank has come in and done an excellent job. Back-to-back wins, and then to beat City last week was really impressive. And now, great opportunity to do another win against Bournemouth, who basically lost their full back line. So I think Spurs will be targeting it for sure.
Yeah, Mark, how impressed were you with Tottenham in that last in the last weekend? Of course, winning 2-0 against Man City at the Etihad.
Very impressed. I always say Thomas Frank is one of my favorite coaches. I'm just glad that his work is now coming to light, because he needed a bigger team to show the type of coach that he is, what he's capable of. And now that it's showing at Tottenham, I'm so happy for him. And Spurs' performance was very good. They were on City. They didn't give them space. They played football. And also the recruitment has been very good. I'm surprised at he's been backed so heavily compared to previous coaches at Tottenham, because it looks like whoever he wants, they're prepared to get for him. So it's very exciting times for Tottenham. They're playing exciting football. The back line is back, which has been a problem from the last season. Van der Ven and Romero look like a solid pair. Kudus looks like is someone to watch this season. Richarlison's getting on the goals. So it's really good for Thomas Frank at the moment.
You know, I think you've named just about the entire midfield striker lineup. And then you look at the defense, who just kept back-to-back clean sheets. I mean, they're looking formidable and stacked with quality all over the pitch.
Exactly. That's the type of coach and what is expected from Frank and his players. And we can't forget Vicario in the nets. He made some good saves against City. So having a good goalkeeper and a defensive pair like that, an exceptional attacking threat, it's going to be a good season for Spurs.
Yeah. You know, it wasn't that long ago where we were discussing actually Spurs' performance in the UEFA Super Cup against PSG. And you said you were hugely impressed with what you've seen. I, for one, am now a believer in Spurs. But Nige, let me ask you, with the fixtures against Bournemouth, West Ham, Brighton, Wolves and Leeds across the next five, should we take a step back and look at this Spurs outfit that might be top of the log at the start of October?
Definitely winnable fixtures there, and considering the start that they've made, I think they'll be very confident that they can go to those five games and get like possibly maximal points. I think Frank will be targeting it, the players will be targeting it, but yeah, let's see how it goes.
All right, this weekend against Bournemouth, one-way traffic.
Yeah, I think Spurs for the win here. I think they've started like a house on fire. Spurs win.
Yeah, Spurs win for sure.
All right. Well, one game that needs no introduction, Manchester United versus Burnley. Can United get their first win? The fans have been crying out loud. The pundits are going to have a howl of a day if Burnley get the drop of on Man United at Old Trafford this weekend.
Yeah, look.
Where do you start?
Where you have to look at?
What do you want to know? What do you need to know? Where do you start? United is... I don't know. I don't know what to say.
I have to agree, Mark. I think
last night's performance, just there's no words. You cannot.
It does sound like both analysts in studio are having a tough time.
You cannot, as a United player, one of the biggest clubs in the world, maybe the best club in the Premier League, lose to a fourth-tier team and perform the way they are. Spend the money and still you firstly, you cannot go to a penalty shootout with a fourth tier team. End of story. Yeah. You cannot do that, regardless if you are resting your star players or whatever the case is. That shouldn't be happening as United.
You probably shouldn't be involved in the playoff as well. I think they were, it's the third round or something.
Yeah, the first round that Premier League teams in the bottom half are involved in, and United were there. And look, not to win is really damning for Emerson and for the squad. You've got to make winning contagious, and to go and lose to a team like Grimsby, it's going to take all the confidence out of them. And look, honestly, Burnley will be wanting to go to Old Trafford and play and cause an upset. So I think teams want to play this United team. They know that they can get something, and it's going to be difficult for Emerson this weekend.
Yeah, I think Scott Parker will actually be telling his Burnley outfit that we could go and make history at Old Trafford this weekend. I think United, of course, a disappointing start to life in the league. 1-0 defeat
to Arsenal
on opening day, and then a draw against Fulham.
Yeah, I think the performance was good there against Arsenal, and then Fulham go out and play really well against them, cause a lot of problems for United. And again, lose to Grimsby. It's winless in the first three after spending so much. You got a feel for Emerson. It seems like the players aren't, the performances aren't there, and that's the bare minimum, especially when you play for United.
All right, let's shed the spotlight on Burnley then. Of course, they started their campaign with a 3-0 defeat to Tottenham Hotspur. After that fixture, the manager Parker saying this season is going to be one of learning curves for Tottenham Hotspur. For Burnley over there. Then he follows it up with a 2-0 win against Sunderland last time out. Even Stevens going into this one, Mark?
Yeah, the confidence will be super high going into this fixture, especially coming off a good, comfortable win. Like you're saying, it'll be a learning curve for him. But Scott Parker knows his way around the Premier League. He was a proven player himself. He's been around the block. So advice, gameplay, I think he will be well prepared for this fixture, especially going in with how United are. I think he will attack United, look to cause a lot of trouble, because at the moment United are very shaky.
All right. One man that I'm going to be keeping my eyes on is South Africa's Lyle Foster. Now, we know he has been a name on the team sheet at Burnley, not just this season, but we know his previous stint in the Premier League. I think he chimed in with about 4 or 5 goals at this early stage of the campaign where Burnley gave him a 5-year extension. Of course, it looks like he could be on his day.
Yeah, he got on the score sheet last week. Unfortunately, it was called off. They said it was a foul during the play, but he got on the score sheet, so he's a goal scorer. He's been there a while. His capabilities are undeniable. He wouldn't be there for nothing. He wouldn't be starting games if he didn't have the quality. So Scott Parker knows him, and I'm sure he'll be excited to go and attack the United defense come this weekend.
Yeah, is that Burnley attack going to compile United's woes this weekend?
Look, I don't think so. I think United have to pull a rabbit out the bag. Yeah, win their first game in front of their home fans. This is newly promoted outfit as well, so you got to win these games if you're Hammering and United. So I think United get the win. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I'm giving United the win. If they don't get the win, yeah, I think Amorim is out the door soon.
Massive call there in studio. And I agree, I think this is a huge fixture for them. Definitely a winnable fixture. Newly promoted team. Of course it is Burnley. We're no strangers to the Premier League, but regardless, it's a newly promoted team. Moving swiftly along, we've got another promoted team in Sunderland where the pressure is on. Of course, last weekend they fell to Burnley 2-0. And they're up against Brentford this weekend.
Yeah, it'll be a tough game against Brentford. Got their first win last week against Villa. And just goes to show how difficult the Premier League is after winning their first game, brought back down to earth by newly promoted Burnley as well. So it's going to be a difficult game, no doubt.
All right. Mark, signs of life there at Brentford after what looked to be a very dim season for them?
Yeah, no, I'll be honest. I wasn't giving them any hope. They did perform very well against Villa, and I think it was away as well, if I'm not mistaken, away to Villa. A very good performance, solid performance. My man of the match was Damsgaard. I think he was very good. He's a very good player, exciting on the ball. Creativity is there. Very good, very good attacking player, and someone to watch for Brentford.
All right. It's going to be one-way traffic here. Surely Brentford are looking to make it back-to-back wins?
I want to say so, yes. After that performance, I think they want to back it up and go on and to get another 3 points in the bag.
Yeah, I agree. I think especially against newly promoted teams, they want to win, and they will be targeting to get back-to-back wins.
All right. Our final fixture of the weekend sees Leeds United hosting high-flying Newcastle. Even though they are without a striker, it looks like there's enough firepower in this team to get them over the line. Yeah,
I think Newcastle go there and win. It showed against Liverpool a really great performance with 10 men, losing Gordon and still coming back 2-0 down. So I think against Leeds, I think they have too much.
Yeah, I think Leeds also having a tough time, recently crashing out of the EFL Cup. Of course, that followed a 5-0 hammering by the hands of Arsenal.
Yeah, the Premier League will catch up to you very quickly. Newcastle, I think, despite the defeat to Liverpool, they can hold their heads up high. That was a top performance from them. And I think with that, they will go to Leeds expecting to get maximum points.
All right. Surely it's going to be a win in the bag for them?
Yeah, I'm going Newcastle.
I agree, Newcastle to win.
All right. Gents, that brings us to the end of this weekend's Premier League preview. As always, it's been a pleasure unpacking the English top flight. Until we meet again next weekend, cheers.
Thanks, Dish.
Sure. Cheers.